celebration. Amen to the Lord Jesus. We love the Lord. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. I'm going to get started real quick because I have a lot of ground to cover, and it looks like this is the last sermon in that Divine Protection series. And this is actually part 7, I think. Am I right? Part 7. And, you know, to have 7 sermons and cover 3 verses, I'm not sure what that's saying, but I'm not going to question it. I'm just going to preach on. Okay? And so we'll be on to something else next. Okay? Might be related, though. You know, I may refer back to Psalm 91. Somebody say amen. Okay. I'm going to. Psalm 91, verse 3 says this: "For then he will. For then he will. For then he will." What is it talking about? Verse 3 is a result of verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 is talking about practicing his presence. We're under the shadow. Hey, verse 2 is talking about confessing who is. When you're practicing the presence of the Lord, you get revelation of Jesus. You see who he is. And when you get revelation of Jesus and then you confess with your mouth, well, that's the same thing Jesus told Peter. These were going to be the keys to the kingdom right here. All right, revelation of who Jesus is and saying what he is. Saying what he says, saying what he is, saying what he does. And I want to tell you, that's a powerful 1-2 punch. And when we practice his presence in verse 1, and we confess with our mouth, our confession needs to be Jesus. And we confess who he is and what he does and what he says. When we say what he says, look what happens in verse 3. Then he will. We don't make it happen. He does. What we do is practice verse 1 and verse 2. And I want to tell you, the rest of Psalm 91, I'm generalizing, but I'm saying this. The rest of Psalm 91 is he will, he will, he will, he will, he will. He is the divine protector. We have a part to cooperate in verse 1 and verse 2, but after that, it's he will, he will, he will. And let's look at what he says. He says, he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Now, let me start out with pestilence because that seems to be on people's minds. And let me just say real quick, this means disease and sickness. He will deliver you. It doesn't mean that it doesn't come, but I want to tell you, he'll protect you. And if it lands at your doorstep, he'll deliver you. Amen? That's how big our God is. He's bigger than every disease and every sickness. And he'll also deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now, let me kind of just zero in on something because it's important for you to be on board this train that I'm trying to drive, okay? Is the word saying maybe he'll do it? Is it saying sometimes? Is it saying if your report card's good enough? Thank you for that. I want to tell you, this promise, these beautiful promises in Psalm 91 of divine protection, they are not true for every human. They can be, but they're not true for every human. But for his sons and daughters. If you're a son of God and a daughter of God, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he has positionally put you in the place of the secret place. And so these promises are true for those who have accepted Christ. And I'm going to refine it a little bit further. They're especially true for the believers that believe. Hey, I don't have to go there, but you know it's true that it is possible for believers to not believe. Oh, amen. We can be full of doubt, speculation, and unbelief. And I want to tell you, the promises don't work for you like they could if you're full of doubt, speculation, and unbelief. I had one pastor that I shared this with, and he said, "Does it really say that?" And I said, "Yes, right there, deadly pestilence." He said, I just don't believe that's what it means." And I just simply told him, you know, because I hear this, I simply told him, "Well, it's really not going to work for you." Okay. But I want to tell you how to believe verse 3 is to practice verse 1. Because in verse 1, you get revelation. When you practice his presence, you get to know him better. And so he is our blessed assurance. Now, boy, if I had the voice, I'd sing it right now. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchased of God, washed in the Spirit, cleansed by his blood. I want to tell you, that's a powerful position that he's given us. And he's our assurance. Somebody say, he's the protector. And God will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now, let me tell you what the fowler is. The fowler, just to put it in simple terms, is the devil. A fowler is actually describing a professional trapper. He deceives the prey and he ambushes them. Boy, does that sound familiar. I want to tell you, this is a scheme of the enemy. This is the way he operates. Not only does the Bible picture the enemy as a fowler, but he also describes the enemy as a thief, a murderer, someone who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Jesus said in John 10:10. Let me just read it right quick. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, he may promise you some goody-goody. Come on now. You know he can make it smell good, look good, taste good. Come on. But the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. Because the making it look good, smell good, and taste good, that is bait. Let's be clear. He wants to trap you into destruction. He wants to steal from your life, from your family. He wants to kill. And Jesus said, see, Jesus is the opposite of that. And so let me just say to the church world, quit blaming Jesus for something the enemy's done. Boy. Okay. Jesus said, I come that they might have and enjoy life. Someone say everlasting life. See, everlasting life doesn't just start when you get to heaven. Everlasting life starts the very moment you accept Christ. And he's come that you might have and enjoy everlasting life and have it in abundance. Oh, you got to love this. Amplified brings out to the full, till it overflows. More than you can handle yourself, it overflows. Where does it go? It splashes on others and lets them know that the Jesus life, the Zoe life, the God kind of life is the great life. It's life worth living. It's life that will cause you to celebrate even when circumstances are not great. Our great God is always present, and he's worth celebrating. And so let's remind ourselves here just for a moment about this fowler. We live in a fallen world. You've heard me say that a number of times. Adam committed high treason and gave the keys of this world over to the devil. That's what happened in the garden. Because of what Adam did, the devil rightfully became the ruler of this world. Adam gave up the rulership that God gave him and gave it to the enemy. And the Apostle Paul calls him the prince of the power of the air. And even though Jesus won the great victory for us on the cross, resurrection's living proof of it is our receipt for that. But I want to tell you, the enemy is still present. He's a defeated foe, but he's still going around causing battle and disturbance. You understand that? I hope you do. But Apostle Paul recognizes that he's still present and calls him the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2:2 is a great description. And verse 1 talks about how that we were at one time sons of disobedience and in our many sins at one time, at one time, at one time. In other words, this shouldn't be the title in our life now. You should not be known as a son or a daughter of disobedience and known by your sins. That is a reference to the past. Let's see it. Verse 2, Ephesians 2:2. In which at one time, somebody say my past. It doesn't mean that you're perfect now, but you're forgiven and you're loved. You have divine purpose. And I want to tell you, a butterfly may land in the trash, but it doesn't live there. Come on now. At one time, you walked habitually in those sins. It doesn't mean that you can't commit them. I want to tell you, everybody here wearing this stuff right here, see. And I want to tell you, this stuff will draw you toward that. And there's a continual battle that I'm walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. Because if you walk in the flesh, you will fulfill the flesh. If you walk in the spirit, guess what? The fruit of the spirit is going to be dominant in your life. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. Doesn't mean you can't blow it. Doesn't mean you can't fall into the mud. But if you decide to stay in the mud, there's something wrong somewhere. We're not to be known by the mud. We're to be known by his cleansing. Look what it says. You were at one time in the past, you were following the course and fashion of this world. Now I want to tell you, this is where we have to speak to believers and say it is absolutely wrong for you to follow after the way of the world in this present age. Same attitude, same actions. Come on. Same vocabulary. I want to tell you that there should be a difference, because we're not to follow. At one time we followed that course and fashion of the world because we didn't know Jesus. We were swayed with the tendency of the present age. Now we're to be walking a different path. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Somebody say amen. At one time we were following the prince of the power of the air. In other words, he was in charge of you. And he could push whatever button that he wanted on you, and you would respond because you were following the prince of the power of the air, the devil. And if it was a lust button, he'd hit the lust button, and there you go. Huh? Oh, come on, am I right? And so I'm telling you, you were obedient. This is the way the Amplified brings it out. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that's still present. Still at work, bringing destruction, stealing, okay, still being a fowler, okay, a spirit that constantly works in the sons of disobedience. Now, I want to tell you, he'll try to work in the sons of obedience, but the sons of obedience are not to give him a place to land. He attacks, he may gain some ground. But we have the great hope in Jesus Christ in the Word that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the God of restoration. And whatever ground's been stolen by the enemy, hey, we can take back. And not only do we take back what the enemy has stolen, we get more. Because he's the God of restoration, and it's always more than what was stolen. Multiple times more. Somebody say praise God. The careless, describing the sons of obedience, disobedience. The Amplified brings out the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving who go against the purposes of God. Now, this is why I'm telling you this should be the normal, this is the normal way of the unbeliever, but it is possible for believers to not believe. And they can get caught up in the mud, and they can get caught up and swayed in the ways of this world. And they themselves can become unbelieving in their believing position. They can be unbelieving in their practice. There probably should have been more oh me's than amens right there. Because it is possible for you to become careless, for you to become rebellious, for you to go against the purposes of God. But it is not possible for you to stay there. That's because God, Jesus, is our rescue. So don't be shocked. I'm doing this description to you about the fowler because I don't want you to be shocked that the world's getting darker and darker. As long as Satan is still present in this world and still the prince of the power of the air, still the ruler of this world, there will continue to be accidents, sicknesses, calamities, tragedies, and deaths. But I want to tell you, our response to that fact is a great truth that Jesus is Lord. And you know what? He redeems. And you know what? So as a result, Scripture tells us to rejoice. We know according to the Bible that last days also mean the last days for the enemy. That ought to do you some good. The Apostle Paul tells us that the Lord Jesus is coming back and all his enemies will be put under his feet. I'm sharing that with you because there's a specific description of death being the last enemy to be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15:26 says that the last enemy to be subdued and abolished is death. And so what's our part during the last days? Get your eyes on Jesus, not on the growing darkness of this world. As believing believers, now you understand now why I'm saying that. As believing believers, we don't live in fear. Our trust is in the Lord Jesus. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And all the saints said, John 17:6 says this. This is Jesus talking to the Father. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful description. I have revealed your name. I've revealed who you really are. The way you really are, that you're a great, great Father. That you're not a mean judge that delights in punishing sinners. That you're a great, great Father that loves to draw sinners to yourself. And all of heaven rejoices when one repents. Father wants to love on you, not wipe you off the face of the earth. It's not his goal to make you a crispy critter. It's his goal to make you his son and daughter. And Jesus said to Father, I've revealed how you really are. You know, that's the main, one of the main purposes Jesus came was to reveal to this religious world and wicked world what Father was really like. And I revealed him to the people you've given me out of the world. Look at this. This is interesting. They were yours, and you gave them to me. And they've obeyed and kept your word. Now, look. I'm going to say something about this verse that you may not see. And I'm going to put it like this. It's not our life. It's not your life. Your life is his. Wait a minute now. That's what salvation is. When you come to Jesus Christ and you surrender yourself and you invite Jesus to come into your life, he is Lord. He is Lord means he is boss. He's in charge. You give up the rights to your life and you yield your life to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. You're here for his pleasure. You're here for his pleasure, not for yours. Boy, I'm telling you. You see, now that doesn't make this generation want to give an offering, right? You know, this makes this generation say, wait, what's he saying? Get on to something good. Give me something in the cafeteria line that makes me smile. No, wait. I'm telling you something here. You're not here for his pleasure. You're here for his pleasure, not for yours. The Bible says, Jesus gave instruction that if you lose your life for him, you can have his life for you. And I want to tell you, I got to say it again. Lose your life for him, and you can have his life for you. And you know what that life looks like? Jesus described it in John 10:10. It's overflowing life. It's abundant life. It's life to the max. More than you can handle, more than you can stand. And so here's the problem, and I'm speaking specifically to Christians right now. You see, we can miss the abundant life if you're self-occupied instead of Christ-occupied. If you're running around and your whole purpose every day and in life is me, let's talk about me. If that's your goal, I want to tell you, you're self-occupied and you can miss the abundant life. You can miss the very purpose that Jesus came to save you for. You can miss out on all the amazing overflow of his life. We got to be Christ-occupied and not self. I'm just going to announce to you right now, if you're self-occupied, the predominant move in your life is fear. A lot of Christians in fear. Hey, if you're Christ-occupied, then the heartbeat of the believing believer, if you're Christ-occupied, is faith. Do you see a difference? There's a very real enemy that's setting traps for humans. And I want to tell you, I'd love to say some things about the shootings and the viral outbreaks all over the world. And I'm just going to rush and say this. If you think this is the last pandemic that the enemy's got up his sleeve, then you're, come on. But I want to tell you, in spite of what's happening out there, Jesus has great hope and purpose for us. In the natural, if you pay attention to the news, I'm just going to announce this, you are a disheartened, discouraged person. Now, come on now, I talk to them every week. So, the word of wisdom that I have is don't. Boy, ain't that deep. See, we can go in children's church and get that covered. Don't pay attention to it. Don't give your heart to it. Don't give your mind over to it. Don't give your time to it. Pay attention to God, His word, His promises. Practice remembering and meditating on the truth. Those facts will make you sad and depressed. The truth will set you free. We have a Savior who's even more real, and He's promised to deliver us from the snare of the fowler. He's promised. He's promised to deliver us from pestilences. Those are dangerous diseases and viruses. And so we need to practice Psalm 91:1 and 91:2, and then we'll see verse 3 in action. You want to see verse 3? Practice 1 and 2. We recognize how much we need a Savior. That's very, very important, because I want to tell you what that is. That's humility. We humble ourselves that we need a Savior daily. We need a Savior. I want to tell you a statement that I'm so tired of hearing. I'm going to give you this little story. I had a dad that contacted me, and I'm just going to say his family's a mess. That's all I can say. His family's a mess. Contacted me and he said, pray. I thought that he was asking for help. And so I did. I prayed, contacted him. And I said, hey, I got some things I want to share. He said, no, I got this. I'm going to say it again because it really bothered me. He said, I was wanting to offer him some help, pray for him and offer him some counsel, some wisdom, some word. He said, I got this. Well, let me say this. He don't got it. But when your heartbeat is, I got this, you're saying, I got it. You need to let the Lord have it, is what you need. And that's what humility does. Humility says, I need you. I need you for my family. Not, I got this. Well, I want to tell you how he got it. He's in worse shape. Oh, that hurts. But humility says this, Lord, I need you daily. You see a difference there? I want to tell you what the Lord delights in. He delights in this daily interaction with you. He loves it when you approach Him on a daily way. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. I need you. Lord, I trust in you. Lord, I depend on you. Lord Jesus, I need you. You see, it's the daily interaction. That very position of involving Him in our lives every day, that causes us, listen, that causes us to receive His deliverance and protection. Only He can keep us safe. I had some country folk quiz me recently, and they said this. They said, hey, they said, what do you do about all that big city traffic? That would just be the death of me. That would just drive me crazy. And I said, well, if you think that way and talk that way, it probably would. They said, well, what do you do about it? I said, Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled while you're driving. Now, I added, okay. But it's there. Don't let your heart be troubled. Your heart does not have to get troubled in traffic. I said, let me tell you what I've learned to do. Not that I'm perfect. I don't do it right every time. But I want to tell you what I enjoy doing is letting the Lord be my peace in traffic. Wait. Is that possible? Yeah, let Him be my joy in traffic. Let Him love on me in traffic. I turn that little red hawk, that little red pickup, into a rolling worship center. And he's a very present help to me in time of traffic. Well, in trouble. All right, look. I was on a trip this week that should have took me about 2.5 hours. That's what it takes me about 4 a.m. On the way back, it took me about 4.5 hours. You know why? A little traffic. But I want to tell you, I had an enriching time. I can tell you, I had an enriching time. Why? Because the Lord is a very present help in time of trouble. Psalm 91 says that he's my refuge and my fortress. That can mean in your car. You say, well, I had a fender bender. I had a wreck. Well, you're still here. We can start right there. Okay? Hey, and you don't know how many times he's kept you from those fender benders. Okay? We pray for the Lord's protection. We practice and apply Psalm 91. Who do you trust? It's not your routine. You dare not say to God and to man, I got this. I'm a good driver. It's been so many years since I've had a ticket or had an accident. I'm a good driver. Don't you dare trust in your good driving. You trust in the Lord. Not your driving skills. We trust in the Lord's protection. Now, you know, we believe in praying Psalm 91. Now, I'm not telling you you have to pray the entire 16 verses every time. There's not anything wrong if you do. It's sure not going to hurt you. It'll probably help you if your focus is on the Lord and not just doing it for the mileage. I've shared with you this before, that the rabbis used to tell people that you read it through 7 times and you'll be healed. Now, it's not an incantation. It's not a magic formula, but I haven't talked to them, but I think I know what they were saying, that by the time you read it through 7 times, that you know what? Your heart's turned toward the Lord, and there's a spark of faith where you connect with the protector for your redemption, for your rescue. Very powerful. But I'm not saying you have to do that. Sometimes as I'm cranking up my vehicle, I just take a moment and give thanks to the Lord for his protection. I've told you this before. Sometimes I just touch the vehicle I'm getting in and say, the blood of Jesus. I get in there and I confess whatever scripture my heart's been meditating on that day. For example, it was real easy for me this week to talk about the Lord protecting me from the fowler and from every disease, from every pestilence. And, you know, I walk into a marketplace or medical facility. I don't put on my hazmat suit. It's okay if you do. I've never told anyone not to take a vaccine. I've never told anyone to not take a booster. I've always told people the same thing. Seek the Lord. Get personal direction from the Lord. And yes, you're right. I know some of you want to know because there's questions that float out there to other people. I don't know why they don't ask us. But they'll ask other people. And let me just say, no, we haven't received a vaccine. No, we haven't received those. And you know what? I want to tell you something. If the Lord whispers to us tomorrow to go get a vaccine, we'll get in line. Well, I don't think there's a line anymore, but we'll go get it. Do you understand? The reason we haven't is because we have peace not to. That's all. But we've never told you our peace. You understand? That's a big thing there. You need to have your personal umpire give you personal peace to take or not take. And whatever it is, trust in the Lord. That's the key. Trust in the Lord. We don't do it because of fear. We do it because the umpire of peace gives us direction. That's what we've been saying to the body of Christ. And by the way, let me go ahead and just finish this part. No, we haven't had COVID. And you know what? We're believing not to have it. Is that okay? Shouldn't that be okay that we believe that we're not going to get it and we're believing not to get it? Shouldn't that be all right? Well, it's not to some people. Some people want to know. Have they got the vaccine yet? Have they had COVID yet and not told anybody? No. You know what? We're at peace. You be at peace. Why don't you be at peace about our peace? Why don't you seek the umpire for your peace, wherever your journey is? And it'll be okay. We got room for each other. Amen? I don't think it's a pure heart that's, you know, oh, I don't need to go there. Okay. I'm not giving you some rules. Verse 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from deadly pestilence. I'm not giving you rules. I want to tell you, religion is famous for rules. When you have a relationship with the protector, you have freedom, life to receive from the Lord and to walk in. That's better than rules. He'll give you direction. He is my refuge and he's my fortress. I'm stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. I abide in the secret place. Now, no matter where you've been or what your experience has been, this should be your starting place every day. It's to abide in the secret place. You know what? He makes it easy because he's paid the price for you to come to him. He's more excited about you meeting with him than you are meeting with him. And I want to tell you, the Lord is waiting on you. He's not running from you. He's run to you. Remember, the prayer of protection is not some kind of formula. It's a relationship with the Lord. That's what makes the difference. I want to tell you, prayer is conversation. There is no relationship without conversation. There is no substitute for intimacy with God. The promises are not as effective without a relationship. Intimacy enhances the relationship. Verse 2 is saying what he says, saying what he does, saying what he is. It's the power of confessing it. So talk to him. Enjoy his presence, verse 1. Commune with him, involve him, listen to him, love him back in verse 2 by saying what he is. You're my refuge. You're my fortress. I love trusting in you. Do you hear it? Listen to him, assure you of his deliverance. That's what you need. It's one thing for you to hear one of our pastors say it or one of our leadership team say it. It's another thing for you to hear the Holy Spirit whisper it to you with your name on it. That's what you need to hear. And so I'm telling you, you seek him till you hear him. He will lead you. Great favor and great grace. He will guide you to be at the right place at the right time with the right people. We hear those testimonies over and over again. But be advised about this. In order for a trapper to be effective, he must distract the prey with bait. I have this little, well, it's a cough drop. Nobody want a cough drop right now. I meant for it to be candy. He might attract you with candy. He might attract you with ching ching. I'm just saying, different things can be a bait for different people. Let me tell you something. The enemy is not all-knowing, but he knows you well enough to know how to push your button. He knows you well enough to know how to bait the trap because he's a professional fowler. Now, the Lord's promised to protect you. Let me tell you a couple of baits right quick. It goes like this. Fear is a big bait. Prominent. Dominant out there. And Christians who are not believing believers fall into that bait of fear. And you start doing things the same way the world does them, thinking the same way they do, speaking the same way they do, and reacting the same way they do. Well, I want to tell you something. Fear is a bait for the trap. It'll bring destruction. Okay? Steal, kill, and destroy. Another bait is offenses. Offenses come. Jesus said that the bait for offenses, for traps, would be an offense. And he says offenses come. So let me tell you something. Fear comes to your door. Offenses come to your door, but you can't let them in. If you let them in and you realize you've let them in, you better go to the Restorer, to the God of restitution, to the Lord Jesus himself to rescue you, because he wants to be your rescue to get fear or to get offenses out your door because they're poison. Now, I visited with one recently that said, I had to tell him that, you know what, fear or an offense can keep you from receiving your divine protection. It can keep you from receiving from the Lord. That's what a trap is. It keeps you from being free to do what you want to do, what you need to do, to be what you want. Do you understand? And so, you know, his response was this. Well, it just seems like right now I'm stuck. That's what a trap is. And he said, it seems like that God's far, far away. I said, look, God's not distant. He's promised. He's right here. He doesn't forsake us. He will not relax his hold on us. God's not left you. He's not distant. You're distracted. You're deceived. You're distracted. Do you see the difference? God's not distant. That's a lie. Distracted, deceived, yes. But that's something the Lord Jesus can cure quickly. And so that's why it's very, very important, and you've heard me say it over and over again, to keep your heart in the love lane. We got to stay in the love lane. We got to stay in the love lane with Father. Because, you know, as we're walking in the love lane with the Father again, guess what? He reveals to us the traps. We get to see the traps. Ooh, that look good, sound good, taste good, but that's a trap because you're receiving. When you're walking in the love lane. When you're walking in the love lane with people, offenses still come. But you know what? Because you're walking in the love lane, you don't give them a place to land. You say, woo, that was rude, crude, and ugly. Okay, but I ain't taking that. That's bait for a trap. I ain't getting trapped. I've been there, done that, got too many t-shirts. I ain't going back. I'm going to walk in the love lane. And so when you know what you do? You put your hand up. I bless them. I love them. I bless them. I let it go. Huh? I give them to Jesus. The Lord takes care of those. He's not my job. It's his job. Right? And that's what I mean by walking in the love lane. When you're under the shadow of the Almighty and you're focused on him and not others, your deliverance, it seems seamless in your life. And what I mean by seamless is that there's a lot of time you don't even realize, a lot of times you don't even realize that the Almighty One has protected you. And we probably won't know till we get to heaven. And then we'll know all things, for we'll see him as he is. We'll be going, wow, the Lord protected me from so much and I wasn't even aware. I was just a lamb, a sheep following the shepherd. I wasn't even aware of the wolves out there. But the shepherd protected me because I was in his presence. Okay? You're protected 24/7. I say that because Psalm 121 verse 4 says that he who keeps you, keeps you, keeps you, never sleeps. So the next time you're stuck in traffic, see we got back there. Next time you're stuck in traffic, I'm preaching in the country next week. If I use this example, I'll have to use something else. When you're preaching in a town that's only got a couple red lights, you know, it's okay. So next time you're stuck in traffic, let me say it like this. The next time someone rejects you, the next time someone's disrespectful to you, don't let your heart be troubled. Give thanks. Walk in the love lane with Father and with people. Walk in the love lane. Give thanks. Practice praise. Enjoy Psalm 91:1. Let's enjoy his presence. And we'll receive peace. We'll receive protection. We'll receive rescue. The Lord is positioning and delivering you from the snare when you walk in the love lane. And it very well may be someone disrespected you and you know, they through windows and everything, going so many miles an hour, you can tell that they're not talking nice about you. And they're not waving at you with five fingers. You know what I'm saying? They're rude, crude, and ugly. Well, if you allow yourself to get mad, I want to tell you, people worried about a gun, there ain't no bigger weapon than a vehicle. And if you mad behind the wheel, come on, you see what I'm saying? You're going to teach them a lesson. You're going to straighten them out. You don't disrespect me. Well, why don't we go to praise? Why don't we practice his presence? Because the Lord's delivering you from some snare, and it may be that stupid driver or another one down the road, because they're everywhere. We don't drive in fear, we drive in faith. We drive in peace. But we're sensitive to the Lord. Don't go to an offense. Don't go to fear. He's present, and he's right now protection. So our part is to rejoice. And we don't take his protection for granted. I know that there's people that will say, okay, well, that's a done deal. No. We must personally walk with the Lord personally on a daily basis. We have a need to need him every day. We have a need to receive of him every day. That's why I'm saying daily we need to believe. We need to agree. We need to confess his truth. We need to practice his presence. We need to confess who he is. And you know, that's how we apply it. That's how we appropriate what he is into our life. Do you see that? And so you can't just be a bump on a stump and expect it all to take place. We cooperate. We integrate with him. We're involved. We interact with him. So, uncover the treasure about divine protection by applying faith-building truths that will strengthen you. We have to have this in our journey. Practice his presence. Believe, receive, rejoice. His abundant life will for us. Did you get that? His abundant life will for you. His will for you is abundant life. That's what Jesus came to give you. His abundant life will for us is for you to be empowered to live confidently and fearlessly in these last days. I'm praying for you this morning. Lord Jesus, we pray against every offense that's trapped us. Lord, we took the bait. We allowed our heart to be troubled. And so, Lord, we repent. And we just lay this offense at your feet. We cast our care upon you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're caring for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you take this offense and it's under your blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are forgiven totally and completely. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we renounce all hatred and anger and, Lord, any revenge. Lord, we just lay it at your feet. We cast our care upon you. Thank you that you're lovingly caring for us right now. And we receive great grace, Lord, as we humble ourselves before you. We receive great grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your power. Lord, we take authority over that bait of fear. Lord, we renounce fear. We stand against fear. Lord, we decide and determine in our heart that we will trust you. We will lean on you. We are determined to follow after you. We will be a people of faith, not fear. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've not given us a spirit of fear. That comes from the enemy. But you've given us the power, the spirit of power, love, and a peaceful mind. And so, Lord, I just release your peace right now upon your people. And I just speak shalom peace. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your peace is setting us free. Your love is chasing fear out the door. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your peace and your love just combine up to just erase every single offense. We relax our hold, we let go of it, we drop it. And we say it's yours and not ours. And we thank you in Jesus' name for freedom life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've given us freedom to walk in liberty, to walk in your love, your peace, and your joy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that by your Holy Spirit helping us, we don't have to have a disturbed heart. We can have a heart that's free. Lord, a free heart to receive. Thank you for divine protection. Thank you, Lord, that you protect us from the fowler. You give us discernment to even recognize it. You give us wisdom on what to do when it lands on our doorstep. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you protect us from all pestilences, that there's no virus or disease that's greater than you. You've paid the price for our freedom from pestilences. And we give you praise. And all the people said, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Let's celebrate the Lord's goodness. Hallelujah. All right. Praise ye the Lord. Thank you for being with us today.